Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your majesty and for your glory this morning, God. We thank you for the people of God you've gathered in this place today. Lord, I thank you, God, they've come expecting to hear from you. And Lord, I thank you, Father, that you have a word for the Lord, from the Lord this morning for us. And so, God, we ask you to open the eyes of our hearts that we can see and open up our understanding, Lord, that we can understand what the Spirit of the Lord is saying this morning. God, stir us deep inside. I thank you, Lord, for our River of Life family. I thank you for their love for you and their love, oh God, for your word. Strengthen those, God, that are not with us this morning. We thank you, Lord, for all of them, God, that are struggling today. Lord, we thank you that you're sending this word from the sanctuary of the Most High God, Lord, to reach them and to penetrate them, Lord, and to encourage them today, oh God. We thank you, God, for your abundant blessings upon us, oh God. And Father, we set this time aside for you. And so, Lord, help us to focus all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength on you today, Lord, as you speak to us through your servant in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have the honor this morning of introducing our mayor-elect, Rod Robertson, who I have a little bio here that I'm going to read. You know, and we took this off the internet, so you never know if it's true, right? So you can correct it. He is a native of Elkhart and is proud to be an active member in the community alongside his wife, Regina. And welcome, Regina. It's good to have you with us today and your family, who is employed by Elkhart Community Schools as an early college career counselor at Elkhart Central. His mother and grandmother were teachers who nurtured his sense of public service and gave him a broad perspective and taught him to value the entire community he loves. Rod was a standout student athlete, first at Roosevelt Elementary and then at Pierre Moran Junior High and Elkhart Central. He led Central to a sectional title and earned All-American and All-State honors in both football and basketball. He was also a member of student government and a student leader in several service clubs. He earned a scholarship to Northwestern University, where he graduated with a BA in economics. While playing basketball at an elite level in the Big Ten, he was also active on campus in multiple organizations and activities. Then the NBA drafted him, and he played two seasons of professional basketball overseas. Teamwork continues to be something that plays a big role in all aspects of his success. In Rod's professional life, his work included working for Coca-Cola USA, Miller Brewing Company, Gallo Winery, and Coachman Industries. And Rod transitioned into nonprofit leadership beginning in 2011. He spent the next 6 years as executive director of Church Community Services. And I believe that's when Apostle Leonard and I got to know him well and helped alongside in that church community effort. We still support that today. It's a faith-based nonprofit agency that serves the needs of people in poverty in Elkhart County. He has most recently been director of co-curricular programming for Elkhart Community Schools. He has served on the boards of Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary, Elkhart General Hospital, Heart City Health Center, and the local United Way and YMCA. On November 5, 2019, Rod Robertson, who served four terms as at-large councilman, was elected as Elkhart's mayor. As newly elected mayor, Rod promises to build the city's foundation of partnerships to foster economic growth and believes in building Elkhart together. And here at the River of Life, our motto is together, we reach higher, we go deeper, and we grow stronger. And as a church, we're looking forward to building Elkhart together with you as our mayor. I present to you Rod Robertson. Let's all stand and give him a welcome this morning.
Thank you. Thank you. Gosh, well said. I appreciate it. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, I guess this mic works. You know, I'm not going to argue about that bio. I'm going to let that bio go. It sounded so good, I didn't think it was me. I thought it was somebody else. She started reading accolades that I thought my wife actually delivered, not me. But I want to say thank you. This is probably the first opportunity that I've had to actually speak since I've gone through November 5th and become the mayor-elect. But this is an opportunity that I actually treat with a lot of reverence and respect. In God's Word, I've been for many, many years. And it is more than a pleasure to be here before you and to speak about what I know to be those things that actually have brought me to this point, with God being the foundation. But before I do, I want to say thank you to Reverend Cook and Reverend Janet for calling and staying persistent, trying to make sure that we found a date that actually worked. Because I've been like a little something in a skillet. I don't know. It don't smell too good. You guys know what that means. And we've been running, doing 900 different things in our family ever since November 5th hit that changed the kind of way that we do things. I mean, it was, you know, we pretty much knew our schedule. My wife was on a certain schedule. I was on another. And she was seeing kids every day and making sure that she was doing those things with families to help counsel them through high school and even outside of school. We have so many people that stop by our house. And our house is actually right down the street. We live on, should I tell them where we live, Gina? Okay, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Everybody knows where we live anyway because there's these big signs out in front of them. Because my girls played basketball and volleyball and ran track, and now we have a cheerleader and we have a softball player, and it goes on and on. And I'm proud of my girls. Thank you, Reverend Janet. I'm proud of my girls. I'm proud of my boys as well. But my girls are over there as we speak. I have a son in Cincinnati and a son that lives in Goshen, and both of them graduated from Elkhart Central. My wife and I graduated from Elkhart Central. I talked to somebody that, she went to Roosevelt Elementary. Where is she? There she is. Patty. Patty went to Roosevelt with me. She went to Pier Moran with me. Pier Moran Warriors, hats off to thee. To our colors, to we, wherever be, we're strong and firm. I got carried away. I got carried away. I loved Pier Moran's fight song. Roosevelt didn't have one. Pier Moran did. What can I say? And she went to Elkhart Central with me as well. And she had Mama Verna. She had my grandmother in sixth grade as a teacher. So she knows me. She knows me. And so living in this community, we've always had a way in which we touched each other. Living in this community, we've always had a way in which we knew one another. But sometimes you really don't know who we actually are. I want to talk to you a little bit today about who I am and what has brought me to this place, I believe, and what has given me the strength to persevere. With that said, before I leave this subject, I have a daughter that is 19. I want to see if she's going to correct me. She's actually 20. Every time I put them down, they put them up. I try to keep them there. They want to go here. Anybody has kids, you know that you want to keep them 13, 14, 15, right? Unless you had bad 13, 14, 15 years. Then you may want to go to 7, 8, 9. You decide where you would like to have them, but I have a 20-year-old, and she's in Morgan State University in Baltimore. She just got home yesterday, and for a month, and she plays volleyball. She's done an excellent volleyball season. I'm so proud of the fact that she'll probably be on the dean's list. I think she said she was. We'll get there, and when she's so far away, you pray hard that no harm ever comes. We want to make sure we continue to pray to keep that hedge around her and make sure that she understands those options that she has, and she chooses the ones that God would have her choose while she's away. But she graduated from Elkhart Central as well. And then I have my junior in high school right now. I'm teaching her how to drive. Pray for me. Yesterday she was like, "Dad, can I go?" And now, you know, when you're trying to drive, you want to drive everywhere, right? So, you know, anytime we go to the restaurant or we go to the store, "Dad, can I drive?" You know, and I bet you as now when I ask a 20-year-old to go get something, it's like, "Look, why am I going? Why are you choosing me?" But right now she's beating me to the car to get in and to actually drive, but I'm proud of her as well. She is an excellent student, just an excellent student. And she plays volleyball and she stopped playing basketball. She was going to wear my old number too and decided she wasn't going to play basketball anymore. But she is playing, she's cheerleading, which my wife loves. I say cheerleading isn't a sport, but they jump on me all the time. So I know Pastor Janice said it is as well. So I guess I'm in trouble. Lord, forgive me. But anyway, I think she really enjoys cheering too. I can see a place and a kind of hop in her step when she puts on her uniform and gets a little bow behind her hair. And she goes out and she does the fight song for Elkhart Central. I really enjoy it. I guess I didn't think I was going to enjoy it as much as I have. So she's a cheerleader and she also does softball. And she wants to be a surgeon. And we want to pray to keep a hedge up around her because I know she's creatively smart and as she leans forward, she can do what she wants to do. So I've been blessed. I have been blessed as I can sit here for the last 3 minutes and talk about my family in a way in which it makes me feel as though God has had his presence around us as a family, my wife and I. And so I will continue to understand why and how God has worked with me. I want you to go to, just for just a second, I want to tell you, I want to come to you and assist in a spirit of joy. And if you could go to 1 James, the second verse, and I'm kind of a participatory guy. So what that means is that I want you to, I wish somebody would read it for me, but I realize they don't have a mic, I do. So I'm going to go to 2 James, and Pastor Cook, if you don't mind, I don't care which one, I guess we both got Pastor Cooks in here, right? James chapter 1, verse 2. Can you start there? It should be my brethren. Pastor Cook, would you mind reading that? Amen. Thank you.
My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations.
In the second verse? I mean the next one?
Knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen. By the way, when I was in Sunday school, I had to memorize the whole book of James.
So I picked the right one, right? Yeah. All right, great. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. And if you would go to the NIV version, substitutes patience with perseverance. And I know there are times in which we don't understand patience and perseverance. I'd like to always say that patience gives us perseverance. But in these two different translations, patience is substituted for perseverance. So all joy, right? All joy? patience, perseverance. Now I want to tell you a little bit about me. I lived in two scriptures, in two different places in the Bible for many years. And you know how if you live in a scripture, it actually changes as you mature and gain wisdom in the Lord? That same scripture becomes something different for you as you go through trials and tribulations. When I first came back to become born again, it was before my wife, it was before those two over there. They were in God's plan, but they weren't in mine. So God had to turn my plan into his before I was able to see it, right? So he struck quick, because that one was a honeymoon baby. So he made sure to let me know that he was in control pretty quickly. I thought it was in the water in the Bahamas. But it wasn't. As Gina was going through morning sickness with that one, it was a honeymoon. And God blessed us with her. And the other one was on a vacation as well. Let me stop. We're on the pulpit. We're on the pulpit. I'm in the pulpit. Love you, Lord. But God blesses us in certain ways to turn us from where we are to where we're going, right? Ephesians 6, 11 through 18 talks about the full armor of God. When I first became born again, and I realized that it wasn't my doing, it wasn't my grandmother's doing, it wasn't my mother, who were all praying people, that was going to get us into heaven. I just knew I was going to go to heaven because my mother prayed, my grandmother prayed, and they made us go to church every day, every Sunday. I felt as though I was going to go to heaven. But after I realized that Christ died for my sins, my personal relationship with Christ changed, and my whole relationship with that narrative became something completely different. Because he saw me in my dreams. He saw me when I whistled at a young lady. He saw me when I cursed. He saw me when I did all of the things that would make you... I wasn't that bad. Okay, now. I wasn't cursing all the time, whistling with women. That wasn't me all the time. But he saw me doing all of the things. He was there with me. He knew me then. So when I realized that I had a path to have a closer and personal relationship with him that I didn't know was there, because I thought it was always through my mom and my grandmother, I realized something profound. That the love and the joy and the realization that our battles are fought in a different place than right here. That we could lay down all of the things that we think that we are and pick up his word and treat it as a sword to cut through all of these problems that we thought we carried around with us. I didn't realize that I had a place to lay them. I tried to tackle them all on my own. I tried to be as good as I possibly could, and that wasn't good enough. But he gave me a path to be able to come back to him. And when I read the personal relationship and found out that he was with me through all of those things, I said, gosh, I want to know more about it. I want to understand who Christ really is. I never forget the guy who gave me the book, Steps to Jesus Christ. You could still pull it down off the line. I got it on my... I have it on my tablet here, and I have it on my phone. But it was a small pamphlet. I never read it. I just felt as though I'll keep it on my mantle and make people feel as though I'm a good guy. Right? Until one day, There were some things that occurred. And my friend, Pete Yerlorda, we were in Kansas City, and he spoke to me, and he spoke the word. And then I couldn't speak back. And he then changed up, and he spoke to me in a secular way. And I could speak to him. And he switched up again, and he quoted a scripture or two, and I couldn't speak. And if anybody knows me, I need to be able to speak. I got to be able to talk to you. That challenged me that I couldn't speak to him. And I started thinking about all of these scriptures that I know my grandmother used to talk about. The way we used to pray, Jesus wept. That was what we said before we would eat. There were things that came back to me, but I couldn't say them because they were out of context. So I ran home that night. And I picked up that book that he had gave me 6 months prior. And I began to read it. And it talked about confessing your sins and understanding this personal relationship and how much he knew me. My girls will not go to heaven because of me and Gina. They are now old enough to understand that God has a personal relationship with them. And they have to attest and account for those things, and hell is real. And we want to make sure that they live in the righteousness to be able to see us again, because we know that if you confess of your mouth and testify on God's presence and his will and the fact that he died for in the cross for our sins, that we will be saved, right? We know that. They need to know that too. All of our kids need to know that, because that's their personal testimony. So with that said, I'd read the book, and I read all of that, and I began to, I cried, I got down on my knees and I prayed, and I got up. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning when I was on my knees and I was praying. I get up, I called Pete. I said, Pete, I asked him all of these questions. I said, will the Lord do this for me, and will Christ do this? Did Christ go here? He said, hold on, dude, wait a minute, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, man. He had 5 kids, and he was in a bed with his wife. I was so excited about God's word and what it meant to me at that moment. You know how it is when you get to fire, when you first get born again and you start to realize that all of these things that you thought you knew. So it turned me upside down. And as soon as it did, he put her in my life. I mean, it wasn't about a month or two later, was it, Gina? Could have been about a month or two. It was like 95. We met December of 95. Right? Am I right? Okay. All right. That helps me, y'all. That makes the anniversary that much nicer, right? So we met December of 95, right? And so with that said, I'm saying that this was like May or June. So a few months later, it was like May or June of 95 when we had this discussion and Christ came back. And then I moved back home with my oldest son. And Gina had a son. We blended the two. And we said, we're going to live in God's word. We're going to figure this thing out. Christ got us. And I'm stuck with this Ephesians 6:11 in my mind the whole time. We come back to Elkhart. We marry. We had the honeymoon baby. Four more years later, we had the vacation baby. And Ephesians 11 through 16 looked a little bit different after four, right? When we got together, we had two. We get married, we have three. 4 more years later, we have four. It's like, okay, Lord, you want us to live through our children, right? So we began to do everything that we could that was connected to our kids. I had a tremendous job with Coca-Cola. They realigned. I decided that we wanted to stay in Elkhart. Well, my wife said, I didn't tell her that they offered me to move and I wanted to stay here. She said, Roger, you didn't tell me that. I would have moved. But as it was, God wanted to keep us here. So we put, so my son that was the oldest son had attention deficit. They said he had attention deficit disorder when he was in Los Angeles. We said, no, God's provided a way for us to move back home. Coca-Cola brought that home. He came back here. He didn't have attention deficit disorder. He graduated from Elkhart Central with honors, and now he has a master's degree. Because we made a decision that said, God, put God first. So we, I call him my testimony. I got names for all of them. I'll tell you that later. That's another story. But in essence, Ephesians 6:11 looked a little bit different. Then when I went to church community services after almost dying in the hospital in 2007 and 2008, I had pneumonia. It was a viral pneumonia. I was in there for 14 days. Anytime you stay in a hospital for 14 days, you're sick, let me tell you. They try to get you out of there in 2 days. It takes less time to have a baby, right? They'll put you, get you up out of there, put somebody else in that bed. I was in there so long that I had a friend of mine who came in and saw me, and he was on city council at the time. I won 4 terms on city council. This was during my second term that I was there. Matter of fact, I think it was right after my second term. It was after I had won my second term. It was September of 2008. I turned 50 in the hospital. And he came to see me, Ralph Bean, God bless his soul. He came into my hospital room and he saw me and he looked at me and he said, I didn't know it was this bad. And he backed out and he walked out. I'm thinking, oh my goodness. I get out of the bed and I had that little smock on and I waddled over to the mirror. And I looked in the mirror and I said, is it that bad? Am I getting ready to die? Gosh, I'm like, somebody got to tell Ralph he shouldn't go see people in the hospital. Wow. So literally day 10, the night prior to day 10, I have this dream that I'm in a tub wrestling with this water man. And you know what pneumonia is, right? The water man was a little bit bigger than, for those who don't know what pneumonia is, your lungs fill with liquid, with water. So I had this dream. I'm fighting with this water man that was a little bit bigger and a little bit stronger than I am. And we were in a tub of water, and we were rolling in that water. And he would get me down. And one time he got me down, and he was trying to kill me. I know he was trying to drown me. I felt it in my spirit. And I'm down in the water, and I turn him over. And then he turns me back over, and God said, do what I told you to do. And I'm like, okay. And I turn back over, and the water man that was down, I had him down, and he dissipates into the tub of water. And I'm no longer holding this 6'5" water guy that was stronger than I am. I wake up, my vital signs turn north. Fever gone. It took me 4 more days to get out of the hospital because I had lost so much weight. My wife was ready to take me someplace else because they couldn't figure out what it was. The doctor, Sam Borelli, never forget him, Doc Borelli said, he said, if 49 people would have been in the room, if 50 people would have been in the room, 49 of them would not have caught what you caught. It was designed for you. If you'd have been 70 years old, you wouldn't have made it. This was designed specifically for you. So those words were designed specifically for me. We had no money. We were in debt up into our eyeballs. We came out of the hospital, and thank God I knew people from the church who was able to get us a home because we had foreclosed on our home. We were living in a place not far from here. My kids were like, I mean, as we rode past it the other day, Taryn said, didn't we live right up here? It was right across from the AMBS. Some of their seminary pastors lived in some of those homes, and they were able to get us a place for 3 months until Roosevelt Center opened. A center that I had saved in 2005. And we were the first one to get keys to be able to live in Roosevelt Center. We were the first one to get keys. I lived in my third grade classroom. I didn't like my teacher, so I was glad that she wasn't there. So I'm just trying to give you this visual, right? So then, 2 years later, we started Back to School Elkhart. You guys remember Back to School Elkhart? I think you helped us, Pastor Janet. I mean, Pastor Cook did. We gave kids it was 5,000 kids that lined up around Roosevelt Center. My wife and we had multiple people that were around us, giving us the things necessary for us to be able to do this back to school program. We did this back to school program, right? The guy across the street on Prairie was in his home, 1521 Prairie. It was James Crable and his wife Janet. James saw all of these people lined up in front of his house. He took hundreds of pictures. He couldn't take a picture of my youngest daughter because she was in the bouncy house all day long. We couldn't even find her. He said they were so orderly. Nobody argued. Nobody pushed and shoved. They just waited patiently. This was 2009. You guys remember what was going on in 2009? Everybody has a Great Recession story, right? I'm just giving you mine. We had 20% unemployment in this place. We started a program that was heralded across the country because we have brought all of these organizations together in order to be able to give resources to families that couldn't afford it. Dean Preham Bartel was a member of our board. He retired from church community services, but he saw the work that God had put us to do at Back to School Elkhart, and he said, "Hey, Rod, I'm retiring. I'd like to suggest that you go and take my place." That's how I became the director of church community services. The guy across the street, the one that James Crable, he said, "Rod, I saw it was so orderly. We just purchased a home down on Main Street. We'd like for somebody to take our home that lives and loves this community. Could you do it?" I hadn't saved up any money. We were strapped because of the hospital. We were strapped because of these kids. Y'all know kids strap you. Don't think you don't. Anybody over there thinking that it's smug and it's cheap to raise kids? Raise your hand. Don't you raise your hand. God is my witness. You know it's not cheap to raise kids. So we were strapped. So God gave us a home. He gave us a job. Right here in this community, three blocks from where we are. I was a member of Community Missionary Baptist Church, and we were one of the churches that looked at this church before you guys came in here. And as I was walking around, Pastor Cook said that one of the reasons that First Baptist made this church available to you is for the same reasons that those folk made the things happen for me in this community. They wanted somebody who was going to worship in this community, somebody that cared about this community, somebody that knew what God's plan was for this community. So we should be here together. I'm just trying to let you know that it's not just serendipitous. When I saw what happened to what we did at Back to School Elkhart, I became a student of John 4:4. Somebody open up John 4:4. You don't have to. It said Christ had to go to Samaria. And if you look at every translation, it was a command. Every translation of John 4:4, it's a command that it was must needs, had to, needed to. I mean, I don't know how to say it any more profoundly that God told Christ he had to go through Samaria. Now, why is that so significant? Jews didn't go to Samaria. Jews couldn't stick their feet in Samaria. From Jerusalem to Galilee, If Galilee is that bitch right there and I'm in Jerusalem, every Jew walked around Samaria. 2-day walk. Or it was double the amount of time than to go straight through. They had to. They were commanded to. But God sent his only son to walk through it. Who did he meet in Samaria? He met the woman in the well, right? Knew her more than he knew anybody else in the world. He knew her, and she was wondering how he knew her. God made it a point to bring us together. The reason why this is such a profound verse, if you imagine that South Central Elkhart is Samaria, where does everybody go? Don't everybody go around South Central? They're afraid to go down Prairie. They'll take Main Street. They'll go out to Napanee. They go over to County Road 17. They'll get on the bypass. I don't want to go through there. Right? Come on now. Why do you go to church there? Right? We are where God wanted us to be. Amen. This was not an accident. November 5th wasn't an accident for me to be elected the mayor of Elkhart. It was not. I don't know how profound that it was for me to be in this situation. But I do know that if we aren't connected and building the right relationships with each other, if we don't understand the meaning of patience and perseverance, we'll never get there. If we believe that the joy that's going to come in the morning is through the patience and perseverance that we have right now, then we have skipped over God's word. It is so profoundly important for us to understand what we need to do for our kids. If you read a little bit further in that John 4 and get to John 4:35, and he talks about the harvest, and Christ talks about the sowers and the reapers will be together in glory. Talking about people that we didn't even know that sowed something into this community. That it's up to us to continue to harvest and till. So that someday, these kids, your kids, can sow and reap. This is not by accident. I don't know what God has planned for Elkhart, but I do know he's putting in place tools and resources for all of us to use. Every time somebody says to me, I'm so happy you won, I look at them and I say, we won. Every time somebody says, I am excited for what you are going to do, I said, you got to be excited for what we're going to do. I am not doing this by myself. You know who has my heart and the wisdom comes from? It's the same person that's giving it to you. And he's telling you to help me. And he's telling me to help you. Building Elkhart together wasn't just a tagline. That was something that came from all of the things that I just told you about my history. It was a thread. I couldn't have written this like it has happened. I couldn't have. He gives you stories that you can't repeat because God, it's just so great. What he's done in your life, you can't even repeat it and do it justice. I had people coming at me during the campaign, and they were talking about, well, he got lawsuits because of his finances, and how can you elect him if he has problems with his finances to be able to work with the finances of the church, finances of the city, right? I had people hitting me left and right about that kind of stuff. I just told you what I was going through. It's not how we got there. It's how we come out. My wife and I did not file bankruptcy. We paid each bill off. And this is how we did it. We paid them $10. They were lined up. They charged me $1,000 for a belt in the hospital that was used during the time in which the physical therapist came in to get me up, to walk me after my temperature went down. They tied this belt around me and they walked me down the hallway and then they walked me back and I never saw that belt again. And that belt cost $1,000. And obviously it wasn't inside of our, what they call that thing, it wasn't inside of the ability for us to charge the insurance. It was outside of that. You know how it works? Okay, so we ended up, these folk that, the person that made the belt and charged us, they were standing in line too. And we said, okay, here's $10 until we got out. And all along, we were able to make sure that our girls had what they needed. The oldest one that called me and said, she was this the guy that was going after me, she was ready to go online and said, Dad, I'm ready to go beat him up. What are you talking about my daddy like that? That's my daddy's girl over there. She like, look, she, as a matter of fact, she went on Facebook and went out. I'm like, oh, hold on, boo, wait a minute, no, Lita. She had my back, but she asked me in a very poignant moment, what is he talking about? So I explained to her all the history that I'm explaining to you. And then I asked her, I said, when did you start playing volleyball? She said, about 10 years ago. And that was 2008, 2009 now, right? And I said, you had to play NEVA. It's called NEVA. It's a club volleyball. In order for her to be as good as she's gotten, she has to go and play club volleyball. So anybody that wants to play volleyball on the college level, you got to go to a club and understand how to get it done. Gina and I were paying those NEVA bills, right? About $1,400, $1,500 a year. It was eating us up. At the time in which she was asking, she was in a hotel room getting ready to go play Division I volleyball for a school that paid her entire scholarship to get her degree. Because we sacrificed for our kids. And now the payoff is for you better get that degree. You better not come back here without a degree, all the stuff we done went through. And so what I'm trying to say is that all of these blessings that came to me in John 4:4 is still speaking to my heart and what we can do as a unity, as a body together. What is Elkhart going to really look like when we can get Latinos and African Americans and white folk working together, side by side? That's what he showed me at Church Community Services. He showed me service at a level in which I had never seen it before. He showed me how to make sure that if we're serving each other and we are serving a community, it doesn't matter who you shoulder to shoulder with. It makes no difference whether or not you're old or you're young, you're white or you're black. You're trying to serve. All I want to do is serve. All I want to find is the right way to bring people together to serve. We can transform this entire community if we serve it. I talked about unparalleled service when I was running. The campaign pitch was unparalleled service. And I don't think people understood that. I said nobody has a job that's inside of the city right now. We all will look at who's the best to provide unparalleled service. My last commercial was no cronyism, no nepotism, no patronage. I'm not bought and paid for. I lived and I struggled right here with you. It was that way because I feel as though if I cheapened what my service to people, then that doesn't commit me to who we are. It gives you cheaper service. So I want you to help. I want you to come alongside. I want to provide an opportunity for all of you to be able to come and be a part of what Elkhart is going to become. I want you to be a part, not just from the standpoint of being the kind of people that you are, but I want you to be a part from the standpoint of rolling up your sleeves.
Amen.
Let's figure out who we are. Let's figure out what patience and perseverance really means. Let's find out how we can make Elkhart a better place just by opening up opportunities for people to serve. I'm going to do all I possibly can to make sure that my administration looks like you, serves in a godly way, and make sure that servant leadership is a part of who we are. I interviewed with someone just yesterday or Saturday. Saturday or Sunday, I can't remember. Saturday or Monday, I've been interviewing all this time. I'm going and coming. So I'm trying to get my leadership group together. And she said to me after the interview, I said, "How do you feel?" And she said, "One of the biggest things that I wanted to make sure is that I worked in an administration that was ethically in line with how I feel. And I have no doubt that your administration will be that way." And I thought, thank you, Lord. Because I didn't mention God. I didn't have to. He spoke through what I was saying. If God is speaking through you that way, then you'll understand how I'm going to have to lead. So I want you to be there for us. I want you to be there for Elkhart. I want you to be there for your families. The joy that we know will come in the morning is caught up in the way that we serve, in the manner that we keep and build relationships, and in the ability for us to have the patience to persevere. I love you. I appreciate being elected. I appreciate being able to speak to you this morning. And, oh, before I leave, I do bring you the greetings from New Vision of Life, which is on Mishawaka Road. Pastor Marvin T. Pace is our pastor, and he's going to wonder where we are today. But that's what this is about, trying to figure out the appropriate way to join a vision that's bigger than us and to serve. So God bless you. Have a wonderful Christmas, a healthy new year, and all that good stuff. Pastor Janet, okay. Oh, one announcement. Huh? Inauguration. Come on. No, come on, because I start talking and we go again. Because if you get it, if you stand up here, I won't keep talking. Okay. We're going to have an inauguration celebration. It's going to be at the arena, which is it used to be Rainbow Lanes.
Yeah.
I wanted to pick a space that was a space where we can bring cultures together. And right now, Marquez owns the arena, and he was definitely behind our candidacy. And I want to make sure that I extend that invitation to all of you. If you go on Facebook or you go, I don't know where else you can find it, we're getting invitations out, but it's between Christmas and New Year's on the 28th. And I want to make sure that the church is invited as well, and we're going to have a little present, and I I'm going to get sworn in that night, but I want to make sure that it's about our community, and you are a part of our community. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right, thank you.
It's good to hear the heart of our mayor. Amen. When he announced his candidacy and Mayor Dave announced his candidacy, I thought, you know what? Elkhart is blessed to have two men of God. And what everyone needs to do is pray, because both of these men are well able, but God has one man assigned for such a time as this. Amen. And so as you hear his heart, you understand why the Lord, and we give glory to the Lord, brought this forward as we work together to build Elkhart. And I'm going to ask if our elders will come, and we're going to pray for Rod, if the elders that are present here in the assembly, if you'll come on. We're going to pray for him. And Regina, you want to stand with him? Oh, sure. Yes, yes, yes. The family. And I'm going to come on down. Touch me something. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, elders, can we gather around? Could you come forward just a little? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, and church, would you extend your hands? Let's pray in agreement. Father, we thank you for this family. We thank you, Lord, for each one of them. And we thank you for your blessing and your presence upon their life, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the work you've done deep on the inside of them, Lord, each one of them, to prepare them for such a time as this. And I thank you, God, for your strength, your wisdom, and your direction, Lord. The word says, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. And unless God watches the city, the watchman watches in vain. And Lord, I thank you, God, that it is your assignment for Rod to be the watchman over this city, and many watchmen coming alongside him. But Lord, you have assigned him for such a time as this to be the doorkeeper of our city, to watch over the city. And so, Lord, I thank you, God, that you release to him, oh God, even a greater discernment and understanding of what it is going on in our city. And I heard the Lord say, because I've been praying for you, and the Lord just reminded me that he had told Adam to watch the garden. But Adam didn't stay alert, and the serpent came in. And the Lord said that he is giving you an alertness. It is a special anointing, alertness, as you're watching the city. You're a good watchman, and you know how to watch. But the Lord says you are going to realize there is an alertness in your spirit and in the wife of your in the spirit of your wife, for she's your intercessor that stands by your side, and the two are one. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the increase. Increase in discernment and an alertness, God, a wisdom beyond, a divine wisdom to know what to do. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for those that will stand around and support and lift this family up, Lord, as they journey over this term, Lord. We thank you, God. We decree and declare your kingdom will come, and your will be done in Elkhart, Indiana, that the blueprint that you have in the heavenlies will be manifested and demonstrated right here on the earth in Elkhart, Indiana. Lord, we just call forth that entrepreneur anointing once again that was very prevalent, Lord. The enemy came in to take from us, but we thank you, God, that this is a season of restoration, Lord, that you are giving back to us, God, what the enemy has stolen, because we forbid it. We forbid it to any longer in Jesus' name. And we thank you, God, for 2020 and the years ahead, Lord, that you will be glorified. You will be glorified, Lord. And your anointing is with this family, Lord, as they lead forward. Thank you for them, Lord. We rejoice with them. And we thank you, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. And if any of the elders want to share anything, yeah, let's give the Lord a praise. He's doing a mighty work. He is doing a mighty, mighty work in Elkhart, Indiana. Hallelujah.